Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. We're back in the Ask Me Anything. We talk about, will the courts rule correctly constitutionally when it comes to voter fraud and election integrity? We talk more about the population collapse. Where have the workers gone? I read some of your emails that are super insightful. I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to help us in our mission to reach millions of young people before the end of the year, go to charliekirk.com/support. Richard from Florida, thank you for your support. John from Virginia, thank you for your support. Tony from Idaho, thank you for your support. Gordon from Texas, thank you. Crystal from New Mexico. Barbara from California. Maureen from New Jersey. Cynthia from Oklahoma. Olivia from California. Victor from California. Edith from Virginia. William from Washington. Matthew from Minnesota. Michelle from Idaho. Tyree from Colorado. Jerry from Nevada. Thank you, thank you, thank you, charliekirk.com/support. It's Monday, so I'm taking your questions that you've emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Good day, Charlie. Hello. I agree with you completely that voting is the top priority for the Democrats. They want federal elections so they can stay in power and have a one-party system forever. They know that if they don't have this, they could lose a lot of elections over the years. I thought this was interesting. They fought hard for H.R. 1, but it ended too easily, which I also found interesting. Why did they not push harder on it? They just let it go because it just makes sense to come back to it when people aren't paying attention. Very, very wise. It is a smoke and mirrors game, if you think of it. Now, my question to you is this. The U.S. Constitution says the states oversee the handling of elections and electors. Say this gets passed. Can't the courts take it down since it goes against the Constitution? Theoretically, yes. But the courts have ruled unpredictably on issues, especially recently. The courts need to be the absolute worst case scenario. And even then, you know, you're rolling the dice if something gets in front of the courts. If we go all in on just a court-driven strategy, then we're fooling ourselves as if we actually want to defeat bad legislation and put good legislation in. And you could, one of the best examples of this, and many of you remember, was John Roberts and his betrayal on Obamacare. Obamacare was basically dead on arrival. Obamacare was on life support under the Obama regime. Obamacare was not going to be ruled constitutional until John Roberts, in a very surprising turn of events and development, out of nowhere said, you know what? Actually, it's a tax. Even though the authors of Obamacare explicitly said, like people like Ezekiel Emanuel and Jonathan Gruber. Remember Jonathan Gruber, the guy who said that people are so stupid that we had to pass something that they wouldn't, that they think they'd understand, but it's actually a deceit. Jonathan Gruber is someone, we should get that tape of Jonathan Gruber, actually. It's one of the most extraordinary tapes. It's been memory hold. I don't see Jonathan Gruber around anywhere anymore. Jonathan Gruber was one of the Harvard academics actually behind Obamacare when Republicans failed to defeat Obamacare back during the Obama regime. And Jonathan Gruber famously said, the only reason we were able to get Obamacare passed is because we lied to people because they're too stupid to know otherwise. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he did. Now, then there was some really good lawsuits and challenges against Obamacare. And for the younger listeners right now, you guys might not remember the Obamacare fights. The Obamacare fights were this massive question of what is the role of government. And we should have won those. And we lost for a variety of different reasons, even though we won the Massachusetts special election when Ted Kennedy passed away. We elected Scott Brown in that special election race. But we're still living the consequences of Obamacare. Make no mistake. The burdensome regulation, Obamacare has contributed to inflation. Obamacare, by the way, I believe has also made our COVID response far worse. No one really talks about much about Obamacare anymore. Isn't that interesting? That Obamacare has not really been a focal point recently. Anyway, so then it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court and we thought we had it. That's when Scalia was still alive. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was still alive. Sotomayor and Kagan were on the court. It was, let me think, it'd be Scalia and also Kennedy. Kennedy was on the court, of course. Kennedy was on the court. And then out of nowhere, John Roberts in a June decision, I'll never forget it, it was June 2012, right after I started Turning Point USA, John Roberts came out with his 5-4 decision upholding Obamacare. Now, it's really interesting. This is where you can go back into the archives of the Charlie Kirk Facebook page. The day before the ruling, I predicted that Obamacare was going to be upheld by the courts. And I'll never forget my good friend from Chicago, C. Stephen Tucker, great guy. And he came back and he said, Charlie, what do you mean, blah, blah, blah. And I said, here's my prediction. Because, and my prediction was honestly not based on facts. It was because on BarackObama.com, the campaign website, they still had a whole page up celebrating Obamacare. And they said, we're going to make Obamacare a key reelection issue. This is how cynical I was then. And not much has changed with this. I said, Obama wouldn't have this on his website if he didn't think that Obamacare was going to get overturned. It was kind of a very simple argument, and it ended up being true. So to answer your question, can the courts do that? Do not count on the courts to do the right thing when you need them. They failed us on Obamacare in a lot of different ways. They have not done what they needed to do to look into the 2020 election. And I wouldn't be too optimistic that if they pass an HR 1 equivalent, they'll do the right thing on this as well. Okay, let's get to the next question here. Hey, Charlie, have you noticed that there's a decrease in male labor force for decades? Do you believe what's happening with the vaccine mandates and other left-wing initiatives is a continued part of the war on men? Of course, obviously. But also, I think that one of the, I mean, this is the great mystery. And I got such a chuckle out of watching Tucker last night. Tucker's a great friend, and we're going to see him tomorrow, actually, at our event. And I laugh when I watch Tucker's show because I feel like I'm talking to myself. Because and what I loved most about Tucker's show last night is that he approached the labor force participation rate story with mystery. I love that. We're going to play some tape from it. But Tucker said what everyone should be saying. We don't really know why there are no workers. We can guess. We can try to find out. And we did a whole, what was it, last week? We did a whole show on this, and no one else was talking about it. And of course, Tucker is, because Tucker's the man, which is, where are all the workers? And we've received some really insightful emails, freedom@charliekirk.com, from people saying, Charlie, the workers are, they're not working because of the mask mandates. The workers aren't working because of all these different sorts of things. I do think there is a legitimate argument that the quality of work, because you have to wear a mask all day long, isn't worth it to people anymore. I really believe that if you lifted all the mask mandates, it would solve some of the problem. I could be wrong, but I can't imagine working as a barista at Starbucks with this stupid thing on your face while after you're vaccinated or you're naturally immunized, whatever. I can't imagine that's good for worker morale. And again, Aristotle told us about this. We go commonly back to this quote that tyrants like to make people unfamiliar with one another. We have dehumanized the American workforce. We have turned the American workforce into it is almost indecipherable from that of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where every woman walks around with a mask on their face. And again, we've been against the Muslim hijab because we said it was dehumanizing. But now you have conservatives say you need masks because it has some sort of epidemiological advantage. Again, we've gone into that into great detail, but there's a serious labor shortage. And we know where that labor conversation is going to go. They're going to say we need another 6 million people from El Salvador because of this labor shortage, even though we have the dormant labor here in America that just doesn't want to work because we decided to subsidize that. And what's so interesting, and again, I you can go back in the archives, and I don't like to do the I told you so thing. I really don't. But I'm going to indulge in that just a little bit because we came out so forcefully against lockdowns and the first stimulus package. Remember, we came against the first stimulus package. First stimulus package, I think, passed with unanimous Senate consent. Your Republicans were supporting of all the different type of factors that played into this. Totally unnecessary. A $3.8 trillion wealth transfer from the poorest people to the wealthiest people. And now there's this mystery of where are all the workers? Well, I think that there's many different elements to this, but it's probably one of the most important economic questions right now. And the plutocrats couldn't care less. If you're looking for ways to skip the trip to the post office and dodge all the hectic holiday shopping traffic, why not save time and money with Stamps.com? Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS, USPS services all year long. It just makes sense, especially if your business is send more mail and packages during the holidays. Whether you're selling online or running an office or side hustle, Stamps.com can save you so much time, money, stress during the holidays. Going to the post office instead of Stamps.com is kind of like taking the stairs instead of the elevator. You'll save so much time and money, and you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. Save time and money this Christmas season with Stamps.com. Go right now and sign up with promo code Kirk. That's as a special offer for a four-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, enter promo code Kirk. Stamps.com, click on the mic at the top of the page, promo code Kirk. So I want to play a little bit from Tucker's show. It's terrific. And it was really insightful because Tucker doesn't do a lot of economic segments. He just doesn't. And I'm glad he doesn't, because I think that's overcovered in a lot of different ways. But when Tucker does cover what's happening with the economy, he does a beautiful job of connecting it to the question of the national character and things that are more important than just dollars and cents. It was probably, I don't know, you saw it, Connor. It was one of the most nuanced, one of the most fair kind of takes on it, because he was also saying, look, if people are quitting their jobs at Goldman Sachs to go become apple orchard farmers, it's actually a good thing. It actually sounds really exciting. It was a word for word thing he said. Play cut 81. Tucker Carlson says, we have a labor shortage. I just want to say we're taking your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if any of you listening to my voice have any insight into where all the workers have gone, please email me freedom@charliekirk.com. It is a mystery. We have a general idea of what's happening, but no one has a solid answer. And I'd love to learn from you. Play cut 81.
What's confusing as hell is our labor market. The unemployment rate is higher than it was before COVID. Not a ton, but some. That means fewer people have jobs than did 2 years ago. Labor force participation, meanwhile, a slightly different measurement, is way down. And that means fewer people are working or even looking for jobs. So that's the picture on one side of the labor market. And yet, this is the truly bizarre part, we are simultaneously experiencing a serious labor shortage. So we have a shortage of labor and a glut of labor simultaneously.
It's so incredibly confusing. And, you know, we've gotten some emails from people like, Charlie, I got it all figured out. And there's some good insight. The best I've heard is that there's been this explosion of unemployment benefits that is more than ever before. The best other answer I heard is that because so many young people are living at home with their parents, they can kind of do gig economy stuff and just barely kind of pay enough to get by. And they don't want to go work because the quality of their work. But it's this, usually you don't have a massive amount of people wanting to hire and people that don't want the work. Let's listen to some of those news reports here. We have a question here that I just want to keep the flow going from Frank, which is, Charlie, I run a small business in Bangor, Maine. I cannot find workers. We are paying $22 an hour. Please help me make sense of what's going on. We're getting hundreds of emails about this, everybody. Play cut 82.
At Nugget Market, the manager works the register.
For three packs, yep.
To cover short staffing, a fact of life in so many businesses.
Some Walgreens pharmacy drive-thrus, like this one at Main and Mason Streets in Green Bay, have been blocked off recently. Signs posted on the windows say they don't have enough staff.
Certain job sectors like retail, restaurants, and hospitality are understaffed. No matter how you slice it.
The government has incentivized people not to work. So it's really tough to get people to work. And then once they're here, to stay on for more than 6 months.
So the government has intentionally subsidized people not working. Rich people are richer than ever before. Yet middle class jobs that we're told that people want, if you just open it, they do not want them. So what's really going on here? Let's play cut 85. Tucker talks about these incentives and that we've put together a reward, again, if you want to just kind of summarize, what is economics? Economics is the fight against scarcity and the analysis of incentives. It's that simple. It's obviously deeper than that, but that's basically the summary of the science of economics. Play cut 85.
The incentives that we've constructed in this country over a long period of time, to be fair, but accelerating recently, have a very specific effect. Those policies reward people who don't want a job, and they punish people who do want a job. What they do is they degrade work. They strip it of its inherent meaning. And that's a problem in a country that is running out of things that have inherent meaning. They're telling you that your religion means nothing. Your patriotism means nothing. Your family means nothing. Now they're telling you your work means nothing. What does mean anything? And how long can a society continue that doesn't have meaning and that doesn't revere work?
If only there was a book that was written called Man's Search for Meaning, who wrestled with this. You know, what happens when people don't have meaning? Well, we're going to go through some of those numbers because it's all by design. Highest suicide rate in the history of human existence, drug use, alcoholism, social isolation, misery index is the highest it's ever been. Maybe modernity is not everything they told us it would be. Stare at your screen and do weed. Christmas is here, everybody, and you're probably looking for perfect gifts. I know the team behind Good Ranchers. In fact, I just hung out with them over this last weekend. They're so great. They're phenomenal people. They love the Lord. They love their family. They're great people. And you need to get Good Ranchers because I could tell you right now, you got to support our country, support the Good Ranchers, and also, I know you got to eat. From your parents to siblings to friends to coworkers, everyone in between, everyone loves delicious cuts from Good Ranchers, and they deliver right to your door. GoodRanchers.com has a variety box to try yourself or gift this season. Choose the Ranchers Classic for the perfect combo of high-quality beef and tender chicken, or go with the Cowboy to have the ultimate steakhouse experience with Black Angus ribeyes, Wagyu burgers, or more. Get $20 off and free shipping on your order with promo code CHARLIE at checkout. Get all your individual and corporate gifts at Good Ranchers today. Go to goodranchers.com/charlie or get $20 off and free express shipping on your order. Good Ranchers is the gift that keeps giving. Go to goodranchers.com/charlie, promo code CHARLIE at checkout. Give a gift they'll remember. Give Good Ranchers. They are terrific. I love Good Ranchers, and you will too. And I'm telling you, give people a gift they'll remember for years to come. Good Ranchers box or gift card today. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. That's GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. We got a couple other emails here about the labor shortage. I just want to kind of hear what people are saying. It's very interesting. Let's go to this one right here. Labor shortage is not the only problem. Forget the labor shortage. Do some research and dig deep into the housing shortage and the cost. There is something very dark going on with housing, and it isn't just due to COVID. I'm convinced all of this is part of a plan to destroy America. Well, actually, the labor shortage is tied to the housing shortage because you can't build more homes. No one wants to work. And you can't get the supplies that you want and you need to build the homes if no one wants to transport the supplies. And so it's all self-reinforcing. In some ways, that is kind of connected. Other people are saying, I'm a nurse. I stopped working because of the vaccine mandates to take care of my four kids. We realized that during the pandemic, nothing was more important than raising them in this corrupt society. That's a good answer. So the fact that people aren't working to go raise their children, it's terrific. One person emailed us, Jim. Charlie, like myself, huge number of baby boomers took early retirement. That is true. And the price of housing is exploding dramatically. Let's do another one. Here's Charlie. Charlie, here's a thought or question. With regular folks trying to leverage religious exemptions, it's hard to say whether or not other religions are getting the same treatment in regards to this. Thoughts on why people stay home? Brad, cultural shift. Teenagers and 20-somethings have gotten used to staying at home and collecting a government check. They've also been scared to death from government officials about COVID outbreaks. They've got their Netflix, food delivery, and their couch. They're not going anywhere until it becomes uncomfortable to stay home. Thankfully, at America Fest, a lot of kids will be leaving home. That's for sure. Brian, with a thought crime, emails us freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, it's the marijuana industry. It's big and all these people are paid under the table. Check it out. That's interesting that they're not registered. That could be something. Weed destroys lives, everybody. I think it's a big part of the problem. The labor part might not. This is interesting. Dawn says, I think a big part of it might be women. Many women were forced to work from home or laid off altogether. Now that things are opening back up, they've seen the garbage doled out on their kids at CRT. They consider the child tax credits being paid to them monthly. The work situation during lockdowns forced them to do more with less, and so now they're accustomed to it. And what they don't like is happening at home at the school with their kids. And women make up a pretty large, sizable portion of their population, so it makes a difference. Just a thought. I think all of this is true, by the way. I think that we have a multi-variant, multi-input situation here where it's not just one thing. You would think that this would be the most important thing that our leaders would be talking about. But instead, they're much more concerned about other things, such as voting rights. Let's go to, we actually already played that one. This is the kicker, though. Why are they doing this? They're doing this because they want to try to create a plan that could potentially result in mass amnesty to bring in more obedient and loyal voters from the third world. We wrote about this in America Greatness 7 months ago, 8 months ago, actually. We predicted this on our show, that inflation was created by the ruling class to try to justify mass amnesty and mass immigration. Play cut 86.
So in Washington, they're already thinking of ways to use mass immigration to shaft unskilled workers out of their recent gains. Quote, immigrants could fix U.S. labor shortage, read a recent headline in Vox. Of course it did. The head of Domino's Pizza agrees he'd like to pay his employees less, and he wants to use newly imported foreign workers to do it. How's the White House feel about this? Well, of course, Biden's on board with it. He wants more Democratic voters from foreign countries. So what you're looking at is the perfect alignment of malignant motives. So expect the borders to stay open.
So you saw, and we can even go back in the archives of the Charlie Kirk Show. I said that, I think a couple days ago, I said, we're going to see a headline that mass immigration can actually solve this issue. We're going to see it, and here it is. Instead of actually trying to get to the structural issues of vaccine mandates and all this other stuff, we're just going to say, let's just go bring in more people. Even though we do not have the infrastructure for it, the assimilation program for it, basically, this is the divide. Are we just going to admit we're nothing more than a colony, aka an economy? Just bring in as much people as you can, hit the GDP numbers. Or are we going to say, no, no, we're a country with citizens? You see, a colony has subjects or just kind of independent nodes of people that kind of come in and out and trade. Or are we something much more beautiful than that? A country with a shared history, culture, and hopefully direction and purpose. That really is the question in front of us. Okay, let's get to the next question here. This is Rochelle from Newark. Hi, Charlie. I heard you cover the idea of the collapsing population on your podcast. And I was wondering if you could dive a bit deeper into what's happening there and what conservatives could do to try to prevent that. Thank you. I'm going to replay the tape. I think we have the minute long tape actually that I could play. So it was super short yesterday where we played the tape of Elon Musk warning about population collapse. We've been on top of this on this program. Back in July of 2020, we did an entire podcast called The Impending Population Collapse. Of course, most conservatives didn't even think deeply about this, about how the human species is on pace to basically get endangered very, very soon, and that we do not have near enough people on Earth, and that having children is decreasing dramatically. Let's play the entire tape for context. I'm going to go into some of the details here. If you're hearing this for the first time, I want to reiterate this, that we are not having enough children in the world. This is a massive issue, and yet all the people in charge of the Democrat Party and the ruling class say, we have an overpopulation problem. The opposite is true, and the world's richest man said this. And before I play this tape, cut 80, get it ready. We talked about this yesterday. Why is it that almost zero media outlets covered this part of Elon Musk's remarks? They covered the fact that he didn't like Biden's spending. They covered the inflation. They covered the electric vehicle thing. But they somehow had a massive memory hole, blackout, suppression, gaslighting campaign on the world's richest man warning that we don't have enough human beings. Play cut 80.
The economy, the foundation of the economy is labor. Capital equipment is essentially distilled labor. So I was talking to a friend of mine, actually, to say, you know, just like, what should we optimize for? And he, what he said was gross profit per employee, fully considered. So you've got to include the supply chain in that. The fundamental constraint is labor. There are not enough people. I can't emphasize this enough. There are not enough people. And I think one of the biggest risks to civilization is the low birth rate and the rapidly declining birth rate. It is, and yet so many people, including smart people, think that there are too many people in the world and think that the population is growing out of control. It's completely the opposite. Please look at the numbers. If people don't have more children, civilization is going to crumble. Mark my words.
If we do not have more children, civilization is going to crumble. Mark my words. A 2017 research revelation that looks into the sperm counts for men living in the West have plunged by 60% since 1971. That's probably a pretty important story for the New York Times to cover. Why are sperm rates down 60% since 1971? I thought we're healthier than ever before. We have more vegan smoothie shops. We have more gyms than ever before. We have fitness apps. We got rid of smoking. And yet now people have sperm rates that are 60% lower. Could it be processed food? Could it be the emasculation of young men? Could it be the lack of testosterone? I don't know. But it's interesting, something that we should probably talk about. It's something that I would love to see a late night segment on, is the fact that we have a bunch of soy boys everywhere. Maybe, I don't know. The 2017 research continues to connect with this trend that 2020 saw the fewest babies born relative to the population of women between 15 and 44 of any year in human history. The American birth rate is now just 1.7 children per woman, and it's plummeting quickly. Now, every person who thought they were being really cute and smart, they thought all of a sudden that the pandemic, everyone being locked down and nowhere to go, you're going to see an increase in the birth rate. You could draw a direct correlation in San Francisco birth rates, New York birth rates, and Boston birth rates after what? Summertime blackouts. It's well studied in anthropology and sociology that when there was the massive Eastern blackout, you could look it up. I think it was 1982. There was a huge blackout in the eastern part of the United States. Is massive blackout for whatever reason. It was like a huge power plant went under in New York, Boston, and so people were like nowhere to go. Nothing was working for a couple of days. 9 months later, the birth rate skyrocketed temporarily, and then it went back down. Because obviously people were at home, nothing better to do. There was a direct connection between the blackout and the birth rate. So then you had these anthropologists that really aren't very smart that work for the colleges that your taxpayers that you fund, that you send your kids go to hate the country and hate themselves. All of a sudden, all these anthropologists went on TV like, yeah, the birth rate's about to skyrocket 9 months from now. And yet it went down. And Dennis Prager had the most wise take on this. It shows that children are not a value. But children are a value, meaning that you have to have a belief that having children is important, that it's not automatic, that as soon as you have the technology to be able to prevent children from being born, aka birth control or abortion, you're going to take advantage of that. A recent Pew poll showed the fraction of non-parents between 18 and 49 saying they're very likely to have kids fell from 32% to 26%. Meanwhile, those were saying they were not too likely or not likely at all increased from 37% to 44%. Meanwhile, China's doing the opposite. China is now rescinding their one-child population. They once believed in population suppression, and now they're trying to subsidize population and family growth. Earlier this year, San Francisco was named the most childless city in the country, with the percentage of children in the city falling 13%. The world's population is set to decline for the first time ever in the next century. A new study published in the Lancet Journal has revealed. Currently, there's about 7.8 billion people in the world. The study has predicted that it will peak around 10 billion and then decline rapidly after that. With the creation of the metaverse, with the destruction of the Western male, why are people going to get married and have kids? That's an unnecessary burden. That doesn't give you purpose and meaning. Instead, laced marijuana and the metaverse will give you purpose and meaning. You're going to have your kids and grandkids, if you don't intervene, are going to spend more time with goggles on their head, looking in a fake world that doesn't exist, where that's actually going to be the new currency, by the way, just so we're clear. In the next 20 years, there will be more economic activity in the metaverse. I don't want to say then in the real world, but then in a lot of different areas. The quote-unquote metaverse is going to be the place where you could buy property. You could transact business. They're going to try to create a whole digital economy where you put your goggles on. Crypto, NFT, all of that is going to be integrated into that. So then why have kids in the real world when you could just go have it in this other fake world? Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters, VPN with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. When we see with the new announcements out of DC, if you spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Eastport South Manor Central School in Suffolk County, this is from the Gateway Pundit, sent out an email to all parents informing them about the new physician in their district. The new hiring was part of the new regulations regarding sudden cardiac arrest of students grades K through 12. Wait a second, am I unaware that just like K through 12 kids have sudden cardiac arrest? Is that a thing? So they bring in a new medical staff person who specializes in this. The letter says, quote, "One such effort of our new regulations are regarding child sudden cardiac arrest. All school districts are now required to ensure that nurses and coaches can address the treatment and monitoring of students who exhibit signs and symptoms of sudden cardiac arrest. In addition, districts are required to make sure that all staff are aware of warning signs of sudden cardiac arrest and what to do if a person experiences sudden cardiac arrest. Please see the attached information on sudden cardiac arrest." This letter goes out to all these students, and these parents, I should say. Now, of course, the obvious question is this at all related to the spike in myocarditis and heart issues that are maybe related to the mass inoculation strategy? The media comes out and says, quote, "Wave of cardiac condition in young people linked to mysterious climate changes." Here's another one. "Too much freedom makes young people feel safe and unprotected. A possible explanation of alarming myocarditis events." That's what the press says is causing the cardiac problems. Now, they're going to have a hard time explaining this one away. So wait, why are you hiring a health official who is an expert in sudden cardiac arrest for like a small school district? Like, what exactly are you worried about? Like, oh yeah, I'm really worried my 8-year-old is going to just drop dead of a sudden cardiac arrest. I'm not going to jump to conclusions here, but I think all of you know exactly what's going on. You're smart. Okay, let's get to the next question here. There's a lot of questions here. Okay, this one's about rising crime. And this all is together. As you have less people working, you're going to have crime rates go up. And of course, you have all these different deals. The deputy press secretary of the United States refuses to call on Democrat mayors to stop pushing defund the police policies. Basically, Paul from Minnesota has a question around this. Play cut 88.
Would President Biden, as the leader of the Democratic Party, advise Democratic mayors not to pull money from police budgets?
So I can say this. It is absolutely unacceptable when gun crimes are taking lives, when families don't feel safe going to the park or their local schools. And so if you're a mayor, this is what we say to local leaders. If you're a mayor or a local leader, there is a crime problem in your community. We think you should step up and do something about it.
The reason why they do not want to get away from the defund police movement is they've never wanted to defund the police. They want a national police force. They want a woke FBI that will oversee all the crimes. They want to get rid of local sheriffs, local DAs, and try to bring in a diversity, equity, inclusion, Federal Bureau of Investigation that's in charge of everything. It's important to realize the motives here, that they want to get rid of local control and they want to try to nationalize and federalize. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.